You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18 plus. Hi, you're listening to the Wig Hackers podcast, where you get the real feeling of what goes on working on the hair side of the entertainment industry. You never know where my rants will go, so stay tuned. Hey guys, welcome back to this episode of Wig Hackers with Daniel Coy. I have a really fun guest with me today. It is Krista Levitt, the curl specialist. I cannot wait to dive in because I have curly hair and I need to know all I need to know about hair. What's up? Welcome.
Hey, hey Daniel, how are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. So how did the curls come about in your specialty? How did that, I see your beautiful hair. I know they can't see, but like your beautiful curls. Tell me all about it.
Honestly, I had been a traditional stylist. I call it, you know, traditional styling and then curl specializing. Mm. Kind of two separate trajectories in my mind. But I was doing traditional hair for about 9 years in the salon and everything. And I was off on a mat leave helping a neighbor. She had had a really horrible haircut. And she has the kind of curly hair that's super coarse that would take a million years to straighten. And so she always wears a curly, but she had gotten a horrible haircut. And she was kind of complaining at this bus stop. I was new to the area. And I said, you know, look, if you don't tell anybody that I do hair, because I don't want to do it from my kitchen, I'll try and help you. So in trying to help her with her curly hair, I stumbled across a book. It's called Curly Girl, The Handbook by Lorraine Massey. And she's like an industry guru. She's been doing curls exclusively for ever and ever, probably at least 20 years in New York City and then abroad. But really, honestly, it was falling upon that book and reading a sentence in it that said, where there's frizz, there's a curl. And I was like, what? My hair is really frizzy. I wonder, could it be curly? Mm-hmm. How did I not know all those years in traditional hairstyling? But, you know, we're taught to smooth and straighten and blow out. And we're not really taught how to teach someone else, even ourselves, how to embrace and style naturally curly hair in its natural state. That's just not in the textbook. So anyway, I started playing around with my own curls and still trying to help the neighbor and realized, wow, I have curly hair and someone needs to tell other women about this or other people. And I went, wait a minute, I have a license to do hair. Why can't that person be me? So then the adventure began. So.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you self stumbled upon it. Really?
Literally tripped upon it, like happenstance, serendipitous. You know, I have no idea. It just obviously was meant to happen. And it happened at the right time. And interestingly enough, I had actually read that book. It was a coffee table book in a salon I had worked at years prior. And I kind of tried to do some of the things from the book, but I didn't take it seriously, went on mat leave and forgot all about it. Mm. So that was really interesting that I had come across it again a second time.
Again.
But, I think you're meant to take things in. You know, when you're ready to learn, I think the teacher appears or something.
Yeah,
ancient wisdom there. And I think that's really what happened. So,
Oh my gosh. So, so what are your top three? I mean, if it's three, four, five, I don't know. So you tell me, what is your top key things for curly hair? Yeah, what's do you know what I'm trying to say? The three steps, the 3, the 5, the 12, the 18, you know,
right.
Everyone has like that magic number, you know.
That magic number, yeah. I have like almost like a 12-step, you know, start to finish from, you know, your beginning of your wash day to your next wash day. But if I had to like narrow it down to just a few.
Yeah.
When you wear your hair curly, and it's something I didn't know about as a traditional stylist, but you actually really need to consider removing the sulfates and silicones from your routine. So most professional beauty products have sulfates and silicones. And although they are kind of switching and pulling away from sulfates, a lot of the products still contain silicone. And curly hair really needs to be able to kind of breathe with the atmosphere. And when it's coated in silicone, it can't. And it also can't absorb the water that it needs when we have silicones coated on the hair. So then you get more frizz. So literally when you step out into a humid environment and your hair starts to reach for the atmosphere, it's really just because it's thirsty inside. It starts reaching outside for more. So when you remove the silicones from your products, the water starts to be able to hydrate it properly in the shower, and you can really, water's our hydrator. So if it can't get in there because of this barrier of oils and silicones, then your curls are just not going to be as fabulous as they could be. So step one, remove sulfates and silicones. Sulfates are in shampoos and silicones are in conditioners and stylers for the most part. So that's a big one.
That's a really big, that's an aha moment here. I have that. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So, and
it's
again,
in everything. Like,
it's in everything.
You could probably just use coconut oil.
In everything.
Everything.
On everything. So I think that's a big one. And I think that's something I never even knew about when I was a traditional stylist. And it's only because I fell down the rabbit hole of curly hair that I learned that. So that's a huge one. Now the key is, though, if you're somebody who wears your hair curly 90% of the time and you want to straighten it every once in a while and use hot tools on it, you have to put some silicone back on it before you use the heat tools. Otherwise you're just going to fry your hair. So the silicone is there for a reason. It's made in the traditional beauty industry, and it's, you know, it's great. It's a heat protectant from people who are constantly using those heat tools. But if you're wearing it curly almost all the time, you need to take that out of your hair care product. So that's one. Step two is actually applying your sulfate and silicone-free products, for the most part, while you're in the shower and the hair is sopping wet. So what you don't want to do is towel dry it in any way before, or take any water out before you're putting on your products. So all products go on first in the shower, then water gets taken out and very, very gently blotted afterwards. After almost, you know, all your products are in, which is kind of opposite world.
Yeah.
Normally hairdressers, you know, will wash the hair at the sink, put a towel around the head, you know, brush it, comb out as much water, and then try and put the product in and reintroduce the curls back in. And by then they're all shattered. So, so it's opposite. It's very opposite world.
Very opposite.
And then I guess the third one is that, you know, with naturally curly hair, it's really important to, for if you're wavy or curly, you know, you probably want to look at diffusing your hair to kind of boost the curl pattern. The more water in the hair, the more it's going to hang, and you're not going to get as much curls. Obviously, diffusing is important, but the way we weren't even taught how to diffuse in hair school, to be honest.
No.
So a lot of times hairdressers will touch and scrunch while they're trying to diffuse, and that's like the opposite thing of what you really want to do. You want to like hover, barely touch it, crystallize the product cast that's on the hair, and then carefully and very slowly, gingerly cup and hold it for longer periods of time in each section as you're diffusing, and then you'll end up with less frizz afterwards and kind of a more solid curl cast that will last for many, many days. The idea is not to have to do your hair every single day.
So
that's another huge one. And the more curly you are, the more you can get away with air drying, or really specifically using a hood dryer, like an old school hood dryer. That's what works best when you're super curly. I could go on and on and on, but those are
Okay. I'm trying to take notes and pay attention at the same time. This is crazy. What is your curly hair cocktail product? You know, what are your go-to?
I'm more of a layerer, if that's a word. So, obviously, a cleanser. I don't do the whole co-washing thing very often. So I do like a lathering sulfate-free cleanser, a really kind of a rich conditioner for the most part. And rinsing that completely out sometimes a leave-in conditioner, sometimes not. It depends on how the hair feels. Most people can get away with a shampoo and conditioner and a gel if they have the technique right. So technique is actually just as important as what products we're using, to be honest. It's literally, I could make drugstore product look fabulous as well as high-end professional product. It's more with curly hair about technique, I think, than anything. But so most people could do shampoo, conditioner, and a firm hold gel if you're a wavy or a curly. The more curly, super curly, tight African, kinky, coily, textured hair, kinky curls, then you're going to look more to, you don't need as much hold factor. You need the moisture. So more creams are my usual go-to, and maybe some light hold. So actually it's it's opposite world with curls, because usually if you've got finer hair or wavy hair, you know, you kind of might think to get light products, but you actually need the most hold possible. Slightly opposite world.
Yeah. How would you have someone find their texture? Besides that.
Yeah. So I've got a quiz actually inside. I have an online course. I have a quiz inside that kind of describes the different curl types and also shows pictures. But usually, like if you were to look at my hair, I know you can't see me, but if you, you know, see pictures or whatever, some people might think I'm curly, but technically my hair just kind of waves almost like an S wave. And at the bottom, it kind of rotates into curls. So I'm actually considered wavy, a wavy haired person. You're curly if your curls rotate, you know, right from the root, usually about the size of like a Crayola marker, like a thicker Crayola marker, that's more curly. And if you're like super curly, tight coiled, kinky curly hair texture, then you're going to be, your curls are going to be even the size of wrap it around a pencil. So those are very generally three curl types that I might group people in. Really, curl pattern doesn't dictate what products you use. Actually, your porosity, your density, your texture, that determines, like, it's kind of fun to be like, oh, you're a wavy, I'm a wavy too, but it doesn't tell me anything about what products to use. Other than the type. So if you're a wavy, you can use more mousses and gels and things that are going to be curl enhancing. Somebody who's tight, kinky, coily doesn't need curl enhancing. They have tons of curl. They need moisture. So it kind of directs you in what type of product, but not, like, just because you're a wavy and I'm a wavy doesn't mean we can use the same product.
Okay, great. So now I'm going to talk to the professional side of my listeners. I know everyone has a technique for curly hair, for cutting curly hair. What is your technique? How did you come about your technique? Because I know everyone has a different technique. You don't have to tell me the technique, but like, what was the how do we get there? How did you like, this is it. I got it. All right.
I can honestly, I'm an open book. And I think the more I'm more of coming from, you know, a place of love and sharing, like I have enough curly hair to go around. So I'll tell you all my secrets. It doesn't matter. I started with Diva Curl as, you know, a company because I have, you know, cutting and product knowledge. So I started there. And then I realized this can't be it. There's got to be more. So then I found kind of a grassroots group called Curly Hair Artistry. And they did kind of more advanced training. I got to work with different curl types and learn some different cutting techniques. And then in recent years, about 2 years ago, I kind of stumbled through a friend upon this Head Shape Matters cutting course. And I don't know if you've ever heard about it, but it is the be all end all of hair cutting. It is really how we should have been taught how to cut hair in hair school. It actually talks about cutting hair in relation to each inch of the head shape versus head shape or floor, or like it's by inch. So I can actually execute with this Head Shape Matters hair cutting method, I guess you'd call it. I can execute a perfect haircut that never needs to be thinned or texturized in any way. There's never bulk. Unless I want it to be there. So it helps you understand the why of what you're doing, you know, and how to definitely not get holes over the ear or holes in places. Like it really works from a place of like understanding the person's individual density, accounting for it, and cutting what's left. Like it's mind blowing, but it's mathematical. So it is really hard. You know, I'm a creative. I barely passed math in school. I hated it. So when my girlfriend kept saying, like, I'm doing this course, they have an online course, they also have an in-person training, but she said, you know, I'm doing this course, I'm doing it on my own from home, it's awesome, it's great. But the minute she said math, it's like something in my brain shut off. I was like, nope, not interested, not going there, can't do it. She kept talking about it probably like a year and a half, and something in it when she told me, it kind of clicked for me. She said, you know, I've been doing this Head Shape Matters training. I never told my customers I was doing this. I just started doing it on their hair without telling them. And they would go away and come back for the next haircut saying, I don't know what you did last time, but that was not only the best haircut that you've ever given me, but it's the best haircut I've ever had in my life. Mm-hmm. And it was on repeat. Every customer. Yeah. Every. So when she said that, I was like, frig, I'm going to have to go and take this training. So I did. It was hard. I cried. It was
math.
It was math. But once I got a general understanding of it, of course, once you learn the rules, then you can learn how to break them. So
right.
For me, I combine all of my training. So everything from Diva Curl, everything from Curly Hair Artistry, and everything from Head Shape Matters. And I combine those three cutting systems to customize looks for my clients. And I think that's what really makes a curl specialist. So you can be, you know, a Diva Curl stylist, you can be a Curly Hair Artistry stylist. But I think what makes you the title of curl specialist is someone who can know all of the techniques and pull out what they need for each client. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's the definition, personally. But anyway, Head Shape Matters is my secret weapon to perfectly executed haircuts that need zero adjusting once done. And last like 4 to 6 months. I don't see my customers for a very long time, so it allows me to have new clients, you know, quite frequently.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because they can last such a long time.
That's so scary.
I know it is. I know, but I'm telling you, your haircuts will be mathematically perfect. There's like, you can still be creative. That's the thing. You're creative in when you visualize a shape for someone, but it gives you a perfectly executed roadmap to make that perfect haircut. Because we know that when we cut hair on a mannequin heads are all the same, but human heads are all different. Mm-hmm. And you can't learn one look of a haircut. This is where the traditional hairstyling kind of industry differs from the Head Shape Matters, because when you learn a haircut at an Aveda class, let's say, which is where that's my kind of training before I did all of the curl stuff. You learn one haircut, but then you'd come back and do that one haircut on 5 different heads of hair and it would all turn out different. Mm-hmm. Because someone has maybe got out of those 5 people the perfect head shape like a mannequin, but everybody else you're having to adjust and thin and texturize and whatever. And with Head Shape Matters, I can give that perfect haircut on 5 heads of hair executed perfectly, looking exactly the same, and there's no guesswork because I do the mapping ahead of time. And you know, to be honest, I don't do recorded formulas now. I record as I go. I create in my brain. I know the shape. There's actually a chart on my wall colorful chart. So I just look at the angles on the chart and I create my haircuts as I go, and I can write them down. And the cool thing is that I can actually, if I've written down the customer's haircut, I can actually repeat exactly the same haircut 20 times in a row if they want that haircut, because I have math, it's the formula, I've written it down. It's like color formula, it's the same, except it's haircuts.
Wow, I have to look into this. I have to, yeah, math, still very.
I know. And again, took me like a year and a half to wrap my brain around it. But when she told me about the whole, like, they're coming back saying it's the best haircut of their life.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how can you not be really curious? So I just let my curiosity, you know, take me.
Oh my God.
And, it's awesome. But now, you know, I've been practicing it for like 2 years now. So I have my feet under me, my sea legs, but it was rough at first.
Does it cut time?
No. Doesn't cut time, no. But the thing is with what I found is I would do my haircuts, I would, you know, blow them out, and then I'd have to texturize.
Yes.
Right? So I'd spend time during the cut, blow drying, and then texturizing at the end to get the look I wanted. Whereas with Head Shape Matters, every angle that you cut the hair at in relation to the head shape, you can either purposely cut it with the intention to remove weight or add weight on every inch of head shape. Hmm. So there's nothing afterwards. If your cut takes the time, then, you know, but then you're done. But
yeah.
Yeah. So when the cut is done on dry hair, that's how you're trained to do it on dry hair. And then you
love it so much.
Blow out and you're done. So that's what I love because it's perfect and you can repeat it because a lot of the times your cuts are artistic, right? And it's hard to replicate, especially if you haven't seen someone for 4 to 6 months. How can you replicate exactly what it was last time?
I can't remember, to be honest.
Right, you can't remember. No, it's all a blur. So having a formula that you can write down. The thing that I love about Head Shape Matters is that I can charge more for this service because it's customized and it takes time. So I can charge more for my haircuts, but I get to slow down in my haircutting because I'm thinking, I'm mapping in my head.
Calculating.
But what I love for the customer is that although these haircuts take more time, a little bit more time personally, in my opinion, and also they last a long time for the customer. So they might be paying more upfront, but they have a perfect haircut that they absolutely love that they can get again and again and again. And they can go 4 to 6 months between haircuts because
it's almost balancing out.
At first, they won't believe you, and they'll schedule for their 2 month haircut, and then they'll call you at 2 months and say, "My haircut is amazing. Can I push my appointment?" So, you know, it just allows you to, you know, have more frequency in your chair of new people, you know, or just change it up, I guess.
Wow, that
it's a whole different world.
You have me very curious. I'm curious,
isn't it?
I'm not even gonna. The math scares the bejeepers out of me.
I know. That's why I decided to take the online course first because I thought this is a smaller investment for me to figure out. I completely suck at math.
Really?
You know, instead of jumping into the hands-on certification because that's more intense. But once I did the stuff at home and realized that I was really still intrigued and I felt like if I had hands-on that I would have a better understanding of it before I actually did this on people's hair. So I decided to go and do the certification. I'm glad I did, but it was really hard. And so if you're certified in this hair cutting method, you know that as a stylist, you have, you know, jumped through the hoops. It's like kind of like going back to hair school. And actually she's the lady who created it, her name is Kim Weaver Moore, and she is actually implementing this training in hair schools. And the goal is eventually that it would be how hairdressers are trained because no client would ever get a haircut really that they didn't want. There would be really no major mistakes in any haircut. You know, there would be no heavy lines, bulky places, ledges would not happen because the system. So I'm telling you.
Yeah.
For any hairstylist listening, at least follow your curiosity and look. And I'm not getting paid any money to see how amazing this is. That's the crazy thing. I'm like, do you have an affiliate code?
Because
I should, you know, I'm talking to this program up so much, but it really is amazing. So, and she worked really hard to create it. And it's not like Redken principle based designed. It's not like any other haircutting out there. It's different. Okay. So.
Mm-hmm. I have it written down. I am going to check it out. Holy cow. My mind. So how did you, what's this class? Do tell. Give me all the information on the class that you created.
Online
course. Give me
it. Yeah. So the online course, I've had about 1,000 curly girls kind of worldwide go through this course. I travel to another province, so like another state in Canada, so another province a couple times a year, and I have a clientele base in another province. And I got so full of clients there that I was not able to take any more new clients. So I thought, well, these poor, you know, curly-haired people still need help, and I have no more appointment spots. So what if I just do like an afternoon venue where it's like an open big giant curl class, and I just teach the basics about, you know, what's important for, you know, the steps to style and how to get consistent hair and how to refresh it. And I put on that event, and I think there was 140 people that came. I was shocked.
So
women, there was hairdressers in the audience, there was curly girls, it was open to anybody, and it was amazing. And then people kept asking, well, you know, I missed it and I heard about it. When are you going to do another one again? So what I decided to do was to do one more, because it's a lot of work to put on an event like that by yourself. Yes. I work by myself. I have no staff. It's just me. So I put on another event, but this time I filmed it. So I was like, I don't want to do this again, because it's not for a while. And so I filmed it, and then I decided to take that footage and turn it into an online course. And the intention was actually to give it to my new clients before they come for their first appointment, because I was tired of telling the basics at every appointment. Yeah. And I wanted to get more into troubleshooting harder problems when they come and have time with me. But then I realized, here I have this online course, why can't I just open it up to whoever? So I started doing that, and women have bought it, you know, all over the world. And it's been really awesome. It's very helpful. And to support them, I have a private Facebook group. So once they buy the course and have questions, they can ask me on Facebook. So that keeps me super busy. But the online course is basically, it's the foundation of styling naturally curly hair. And I took that kind of larger course that I made because it was so thorough and it was a bit overwhelming. I recently, with COVID, turned it into like a mini course. So it's a little bit more digestible, a little quicker to get through. And again, they can still ask questions inside the Facebook group, and it's really cheap. It's like less than $20 right now. So I just wanted to make something affordable for people who were struggling. And, but I still have the full version of the course that I have kind of set aside maybe as my hairstylist course, because it is all the curl types and how to manage them. But I actually just created the thought of, because in Canada, there's very few people like me that just do curls. And that have, I guess, maybe the kind of training that I have. Like, I've gone to several trainings and been doing hair for 7-8 curly hair specifically for 7-8 years. So I thought, you know what, once you kind of get to the place where you're at, and there's so many customers, I can't take any more customers, new ones, very few at this point I can fit in. I still like to fit new people in because it challenges me, but I really need to now start teaching other hairstylists, because this is what I do every day. There's zero in the hairstyling textbook. Like everything I've learned about curly hair has been beyond hair cosmetology school. So I need to share this with other hairstylists, because over 65% of the world's population has natural texture. And if they knew how to do it, they might wear it that way more often. That's so very true. And it doesn't mean that I'm needed any less if I don't do blowouts anymore. I'm needed even more, because it's the styling techniques and the, you know, little ins and outs about them learning their hair. I've actually created probably more loyal client base than I ever had before, because I'm not only doing their haircuts, but I'm helping, I don't know, I'm just supporting them on their curly journey, so we call it. So,
I mean, you're educating them on how to even just deal with their hair. Most of the time they think curl, frizz, anything like that is a not good, you know, and you're actually like changing everything, how they're thinking about themselves.
And I feel like that's kind of what, this is interesting, because you're in kind of the film and in industry and doing hair, and really that industry, every time I see somebody on TV that has like, they're disheveled and whatever, they always have curly hair. Right? Think of the Princess Diaries. Crazy curly hair. She becomes a princess. Her hair is nice and smooth. So the media is telling
it's really hard
natural texture that we aren't pretty until we smooth it.
It's so, I mean, oh my gosh, you're opening up a can of worms. I love texture. So most people don't know I have curly hair. I have really curly hair. So, and I blow it out every day. And so the shows that I go in for, I went in for a show. I really can't name names, whatever. But, I was up against some heavy hitters for like, they're known for their African-American hair, curly hair, textured hair, all this texture. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm not getting the gig, because I'm like, I saw all these people and there's so much, I love texture, and you don't see it on television, you know? So
do when the stars are very like Nicole Kidman, when she was not famous. Beautiful curly hair. You know, when the stars start to become famous, their hair starts to straighten out. It's like a trajectory. You can see their career from where they started to where they are now. It's
exactly. Yeah. So, and then, but for me, when I get hired for a show, I have to create looks for everyone. So I want texture. You know, I want natural curly hair, like natural. I don't want the wand curls that we have to do every, no, I want the natural curls. So it was a fight. So it's not even like, it's a fight to have someone to have their own natural curls on national television, you know, like
so sad.
From any,
that, like, hurt.
I just want to see different. I want to see real people hair. Like, the shows I do are not period pieces on television. It's cop shows, buns, ponytails. You know, if I do period pieces, whatever. But like on my shows, it's cop shows. So I want real people. Everyone is like, I'm like, and you hear actors being like, oh, well, I put on a flat wig because I thought they would want that. I'm like, well, we have to keep it that way because that's what you showed them, you know?
Right.
So then I'm fighting with production like, no, curly hair takes a little bit longer. We're going to have to dry it a little bit more. We're going to, like, it's a fight. So, and I, and we're literally showing the universe what is acceptable for hair texture.
Right.
You know, and we're, and that's why I want to change it. I want curly hair. I want natural hair. And then, so then I was signed, sealed, delivered on this job, which, and then I go to the actors and like talk to them. They all wanted straight hair.
Right. Because that
because that's
what,
their norm.
That's the norm. And and because they've never been made or helped to embrace the natural texture and feel pretty in it. So, and again, to them, everything, you know, in the media is, you know, beauty is straight and smooth or smooth and curling ironed, you know.
Right. Beachy so waves. Beachy waves.
It's a whole mindset. And I think it does start in the hair industry. I actually have written an email to the, I guess, person that would be in charge of content that goes in the M'Lady textbook.
Yeah.
And I have a petition started. I haven't hit this button to send it out in the universe, but basically for people to just sign and say, we want this education in cosmetology school.
Yeah.
So that, because there's literally a whole chapter missing from the cosmetology textbook. So if hairstylists knew, at least knew how to show someone how to embrace their natural texture and how to maybe cut it in a little bit of a different way.
Or just how to open the conversation to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel a lot of stylists don't, like, they go straight to the round brush and blow dryer.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, like.
And I think the reason is, this happened really when I told the first hairstylist that I used to work with, that I was going to, you know, open a little shop in my home because I had three little kids and I needed to work from home at that time. And I told her that I was going to do hair, but I was going to have this like curly service on my menu and teaching women just how to style their hair and maybe cut it a little differently. I was just toying with it at the time. And she said, women will not come for that service because they curly haired women want to have straight hair. And I said, you know what? I disagree because I feel like if women were shown how pretty their natural texture is, that they would actually prefer to wear it curly because it's less work. Mm-hmm. And now kind of years later, I kind of want to be like, haha, told you so, top of my game, you know, making the big bucks because of what I do. I show women how to embrace their curl and make them, I empower them to feel beautiful every day. Not that they can't straighten smooth.
No.
You know, but
this isn't knocking straight or curly. This is
no.
just, this is embracing what you have.
Right. Like, and just, and feeling it's, to me, yes, it's hair, but it's deeper than hair because again, I feel like there's a little bit of moral injury to curly haired women because when they go to the hair salon, there's a stigma. And when they go to the hair salon, because hairdressers are.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Wig Hackers. Have an idea or a question you'd like me to answer? Feel free to reach out on any of my social media platforms at Daniel Coy Official on Instagram or on Facebook. I'd love to hear from you and hope to inspire you. Don't forget to share and rate me and do your hair because if you're looking good, you're feeling better.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at supsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.